It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Hey y'all, it's Chris Van Cleef. I'm the creator of the Rose Chat Podcast. For me, growing roses has become a passion. My membership in the American Rose Society has helped me to create the rose garden of my dreams, right in my own backyard. I also enjoy the camaraderie and support of a network of rose growers who are eager to share, learn, and grow together. To learn more about membership in the American Rose Society, visit their website, rose.org. Well, hey, y'all, and happy new year. It's a brand new year and a brand new set of podcasts from the Rose Chat Podcast. Our co-host, Teresa Byington, is joining us, and we're going to be taking a look back at 2017. Teresa, let's talk about that very first podcast of the year.
Hey, Chris. Hey, everybody. One of the great things that you did, Chris, was to capture Sandy Lundberg's final talk with the Rose community.
Yeah, you know, that was such a special time. You know, they host an event every year over in the Carolinas called Top Gun. It's where the nation's top exhibitors get together and just for a weekend, and they show some roses, but we really just spend a lot of time together. And, you know, Sandy Lundberg is such a big part of the rose world, and you know, her Sandy's Picks presentation was something that you didn't want to miss. You know, anytime she spoke, you could hear a pin drop in the room. She had that E.F. Hutton kind of presentation, you know?
Well, you know, I never got to hear her, but I'm so glad that you had the presence of mind to lay your iPhone on that podium that day and capture her talk. Because now we have that, her family has that, and it's just something that's been a part of our world for so many years.
After Sandy this year, we talked to the Seed Keeper Girls about connecting kids and gardens.
Oh, we do love our Seed Keeper Girls, and we just love it that they are connecting children. You know, they've been giving out seeds for so long, and I don't think there's anything more valuable in the hands of a young one than some seeds and teaching them how to grow their own. When I see all that my four-year-old grandson has learned just at his mom's knee in their herb garden and even the roses that they grow, he knows, he can identify everything. He knows how to cook with them. There's just so much that you can teach young people, and I'm so glad to be a part of a friendship that is so committed to getting seeds out to the world.
Carol and Carrie, that actually own the Seed Keeper Company, they've been on a mission to connect kids with gardening and have recognized over 300 school gardens with their annual Seed Keeper project. So that was a fun interview. It's always fun to connect with them.
Well, then we had Chicago Flower Show King Tony Abscotto. I mean, where can you go in Chicago for 9 days of seminars, workshops on gardening, and stroll through 20 or so beautiful life-size gardens? Now, today here in Indy, we're around 10 o'clock this morning, we were minus 10. So I'm not even sure how cold it is in Chicago. But to have something like this in the winter in Chicago is such a gift.
You know, I had the privilege of speaking at the Chicago Flower Show last year, and I can tell you, you know, this has been a tradition in Chicago being traced back to 1847, when they created an exhibition of prized fruits and flowers. And Tony Abruscato, as you said, creates a beautiful, beautiful show for everyone to come and think spring. I know you're already counting down the days to spring, aren't you?
I am. Once Christmas is over, spring is just around the corner, and we don't want to lose sight of that. Well, let's just talk a minute about our great friend, Lamanda Joy. Do you even know how many community gardens she started?
Well, I don't know the number, but I know that when we were in Chicago, she drove us around and showed us some of those community gardens, and I was just blown away by some of the things that she told us, some of the stories about how people come together that typically would not even speak to one another. And because there's a garden there, you know, these community gardens create common ground where we might have a racial divide or a cultural divide. Coming together in the garden to grow something good for the community breaks down a lot of barriers.
Oh, that's so true. In urban settings, we just don't see a lot of green. So that's going to stand out and be special on so many levels.
Oh, yeah. And her book, the whole Start a Community Food Garden, that book is the what I call the Community Food Garden Bible. It's a start to finish guide to getting a community food garden started in your neck of the woods. So it's definitely something to check out. I think you can get those on Amazon.
And boy, did we learn about new roses. There is so much coming up in 2018, but we found some gems in 2017 as well. What was the standout 2017 rose for you, Chris?
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to say that it was Olivia Rose Austin was the true standout rose for me. I got three shrubs of that rose back in, I guess, late January, early February, and we put them in the ground. And, you know, we plant roses here in early February. Before May, that rose was above waist high and just full of blooms, all three shrubs. And before the end of the summer, it was well over 6 foot tall and blooming like mad and full of fragrance. Can't say enough good things about that rose this year. Real showstopper. So what about you? What were some of those other new roses that really suited?
One that was great for me was At Last. I had an early test rose of that one, and it just did very well in my garden. It just bloomed and bloomed and bloomed. And once one flush stopped, before it was even deadheaded, a new flush had begun. So that was one of my favorites from last year.
Wow. Yeah, we're growing that one too here, and it's done very well. I love that vibrant sort of orange color.
And it mixes pretty well with my pink. You know, I have to be very protective of all the pinkness that's going on in my garden, and that's one that does a nice blend.
You know, we talk a lot about my good friend, Dr. Barry McCaslin, does a segment for us called the Rose Garden Checkup. And this year we had a couple of episodes, one on carpal tunnel syndrome. And I tell you, I've kind of developed this little carpal tunnel issue going on, and listening to that show really gave me some good direction.
Well, he had so many good things. I haven't dealt with carpal tunnel, but he had so many good things to teach us. Fire ants, you know, I didn't know too much about that. And just protecting our skin from the sun. So, you know, through the years, he's given us a lot of good information. So we definitely want our folks to check out those podcasts for sure.
But some valuable information there from Dr. Barry McCaslin. You know, one of the shows that I really loved this year was talking to Susan Young up around Nashville, and with her Restoration Roses.
You know, she is our friend who became hooked on roses after buying one bagged rose from Kmart, which we always recommend not do. So she blew that theory. And she was with us back in January of 2015 to talk about her growing love. I think she described it as rose fever. So she had gone at that point from one rose to over 250. Well, this year she came to talk to us about becoming the owner of Restoration Roses and Nursery. And she had added to her collection. At that time, I think it was 750. I know it's well over that now. And she just keeps growing. And she's just for her community, organic blooms, roses, and other things as well. So what a story she has, and her enthusiasm comes through. So you don't want to miss either one of those podcasts. And I'm sure we're going to have to check in with her to see what great things she's doing next year. I know recently I saw where she's going to be teaching a class. So I just can't even imagine. I would love to go just to hear all that knowledge and enthusiasm being released on a whole audience.
You know, in August, we talked to Wes Harville at Jackson & Perkins about their new intros for 2018. I tell you, they came out early and came out strong with those introductions for this coming year.
Oh, they did. I'm so excited about what they have coming out in 2018. All of them, powerhouses. And they're just doing great things. Their work with Paul Zimmerman has been strong in the videos, and I think they're taking that to the next level as far as garden design, so we'll be talking about that next year. So lots going on at Jackson and Perkins. And since that's a name that was one of the first names I remember in the Rose world, I am so glad to see them having such a strong season.
You know, we talked to Michael Marriott at David Austin Roses, and they're talking about new intros for 2018. And I tell you, I'm really excited about their introductions coming out this year, in particular, Roll Doll, which will be released this year. Another yellow rose from David Austin.
Well, and Imogene, too, that is in the yellow category as well. That's the one that's top on my list. You know, and Michael Marriott really could sell you anything, but he really does have a great product. Beautiful, beautiful, charming roses. But when you hear Michael tell the story, I mean, you totally fall in love. Plus, on this podcast, he gave us so much more than just the roses. He gives us his tips for growing and very valuable information because he is a grower. He is a garden designer. He has just so much to share with us, and he's so willing to do so. He'll be back with us next year, but check out this podcast because it is fabulous.
Well, Teresa, you know, I took a little road trip in October up to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania to attend the ARS Fall Nationals. And I'll tell you, I had a big time.
Well, you know, even though I wasn't there, I felt like I was. That whole part about you're walking through Nancy Bennington's garden with her. You know, she has a beautiful garden, a large garden, but a garden I've never been to. And she, like me, has lots of different things. But as you walked through that garden and you heard Nancy telling the stories of the different plants, why they were there, why they loved them, whether it was something her son enjoyed or she enjoyed or her late husband, and then all the garden art, and the conifers there. I mean, I felt like I was there with her. I felt like I had been on that journey with you. So it's a great gift to all of us when we can take those personal tours and share those.
The whole experience, I went, she just said, I'll just come over to the house and we'll just sit around the table and talk. And so when I got there, not only was Nancy there, but Don and Mary Myers was there from the Carolinas. Craig Dorschel was there. From up in the Yankee District, along with Andy Vannable, you know, who's a great hybridizer of new roses. And we just sat around her kitchen table and drank coffee and talked about how we all came into the rose world. And all of us have very different journeys, but we all arrived in the same place with a great passion for growing roses. And it was just a great time. It was awesome to see everybody and to be able to experience that.
You know, it's not just the beautiful roses that we grow. It's the beautiful friendships that we make. And those conversations around the table are just delightful.
You know, we helped to celebrate and commemorate the 125th anniversary of Vogue magazine by interviewing Brad Jalbert, who actually introduced a rose that they've named Vogue.
It's a beautiful rose, but that podcast to me was just so much about Brad. He is just as delightful person. You know, he grows those roses up in Canada, and which is great for me to hear because of beautiful things that are coming out of there are going to be great in my cold garden. He knows so much, and yet he just makes it so easy. I remember watching a video of him teaching us all how to hybridize, and I thought, he makes this look easy, but you know, it's not that easy. And you have to have patience and time, something I don't have a lot of either. But Brad does it so beautifully, so he's just a great rose friend.
You remember we interviewed Pam Greenwald about the Homegrown by Heroes project.
Oh, what a great project. I mean, getting rose growing in the hands of people who have served our country and have come back a little changed, a little different. But this is something that's good for their mental health and doing such a great work. You know, that is a project that I applaud, and I'm just so grateful that for those who got that project going.
And then, Teresa, there was our chat with Jacques Farrar from Star Roses and Plants on the announcement of additions to the Knockout family of roses.
You know, regardless of how you feel about roses, the Knockout Rose gave us a whole new era of roses. You know, starting at the turn of the millennium, we started with the Knockouts, and I'm so glad that we have more to add to the collection. So many of those have been sold. It's opened up roses to a whole new community of rose growers and given us hope. And it's also made the entire rose community begin to think more strongly about disease resistance and sustainability. And these roses are really are going to be taking that to the next level in the way that they're marketed to regional markets and only being sold where they've been tested and will do well. And that's just such a gift. You know, it's always been an issue for me to go into a store and see, or to a garden center or a big box store, and see that they're selling a rose that I've tested and I know does not do well in our area. I don't want anyone to be discouraged. I want them to have a great experience. And this regional testing and this regional marketing, I think, is going to help that a great deal. Don't you?
We're already seeing the benefits of that, where, you know, you just get a better outcome in the garden, and you put that rose in the ground and it grows well in your area, you're much more likely to buy another plant. Well, you know, I thought one of our most fun interviews this year was Dr. Alan Armitage, or, you know, we call him Dr. A, and his new book that came out of Naked Ladies and Forget-Me-Nots.
You know, and there's another person who could just talk about anything in the plant community. So, great title for a very great book. So I'm so glad he came to be with us. I hope he'll come again.
Yeah, I do too. I loved his story about why we really shouldn't eat carrots. There was a whole marketing campaign around that. And, you know, he even told us a lot about his favorite annuals and perennials from the garden and that app that he has. Dr. A's app for perennials and annuals is an invaluable resource. I use it every time I go to the home center.
You know, our roses, you know, they just do better with companions, as we do. You know, sometimes you've got that naked knee syndrome going on. It's nice to have a nice knockout or nice petunia, something going on at the plant so that you don't pay so much attention to something that may not be going on at the same way that you would like for it to. So we need all of our plants to work together. Well, I had the opportunity to talk with Tom Carruth. You know, he's a famed hybridizer. He's given us so many beautiful roses. Julia Child, Hot Cocoa, Mitty Boo, 4th of July, and Strike and Rich, many, many others. Tom and I met up at the Illinois-Indiana District meeting in October, and he was excited. There's so much going on at the Huntington Garden in California, where he's the curator, and he wanted to talk about that. And he has so many new roses coming out in 2018, beautiful, beautiful roses. And one of those roses is a great note for the rose community. We're all excited about Top Gun. And this is a beautiful red rose that's said to be very disease resistant, even rosette resistant. So we're all looking to see how that's going to go.
This really is a great talk, and Tom always has some terrific insights. Let's listen in.
Well, today I'm with Tom Carruth. He is a curator at the Huntington Garden out in California. It's a beautiful, beautiful garden. Now, Tom, this time of year, all the rosarians get all the buzz about the 2018 introductions. So since we've gotten so many beautiful roses from you in the past, tell us what we can look forward to in 2018.
I think there's a pretty exciting bunch this year, and it's a very different time for me because I've been retired from the hybridizing at Weeks Roses for 5 years now. So some of these guys that are just coming forward in the 10-year process, I would only have observed about 2 or 3 years. So I'm not quite as familiar with them as I was when I was there for the full 10-year process. But there are some neat and interesting items that are very well tested throughout the nation for their disease resistance and their vigor. And Top Gun is one of those that surfaced. It's a home run derivative, so Knockout is a grandparent on it. And it's a larger flower with more petals, but a bright red color and great foliage to flower contrast. And it seems that it's, from their tests, not only black spot free, but powdery mildew free and resistant to rose rosette disease, which would be a great step forward.
That is such good news for all of us who love the rose. Now, I've seen pictures of this rose. It's absolutely gorgeous. I have a red front door, and I just have to have the whole front banked with these. And it has a beautiful center as well.
It does. It really does. And like Home Run, it never has a monstrous flush of flowers, but almost every day there is a fresh flower open on the plant. And it drops its petals clean, so it doesn't look unsightly at any point in time. And you really don't even have to deadhead it, which is pretty spectacular.
That's great
news. I mean, when we're talking about shrubs, that's what a shrub should do. Bloom its guts out, be absolutely disease-free, not require any deadheading, and hopefully not even any spraying.
That's great. Very good news.
Now, another neat one on the horizon is called Easy on the Eyes. And this is from the Rosahelthemia breeding work. So these are the roses that have a dark eye zone in them. And that work was actually begun by Jack Harkness and Alec Cocker in the 60s when they brought the species over from Persia and began working with it. And it was a very troublesome species to breed with. And they had many hours, many days, many years put into this before they got anything. And it was still a very troubled bloodline. It got a lot of diseases, had a lot of problems, tended to be once blooming. But through the work of especially amateur breeders in England, they have stepped forward with good repeat bloom, good disease resistance, and Easy on the Eyes actually takes one of those hybrids from England and crosses it with Sweet Chariot, and it's produced this mounding shrub of a plant with flowers about 2 inches across that open up pink with a raspberry eye and then age to lavender with a purple eye in huge clusters with wonderful spicy fragrance, and again, no black spot. No powdery mildew, free flowering. It's really a neat little helthemia. It's vigorous. So unlike some of the other hybrids that broke early that were not vigorous and not healthy, this one is well ahead of the game on it. And Sweet Chariot has been a very interesting parent for me over time. It throws a lot of variation. My purple work goes back to Sweet Chariot in the bloodline. So this one is a neat little variety.
Nice. You know, you use the word eye, and that eye of the rose is absolutely outstanding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's different. It's interesting. It's beautiful. It gets a lot of attention. You know, people are drawn to it. Mm-hmm. To have something that I can recommend in Zone 5 is going to be huge, just huge.
And this will be produced on its own roots.
Oh, see, that's just wonderful. Well, that's good news.
It is.
It's real good news.
And there's another Easy sister. This is Easy Spirit that's breaking. And it's a large flowered floribunda that's a cream color. It's not a white, it is a pure cream, but it's very even in its coloration. Beautiful flower form on it. It's a cross with Easy Does It behind it. And the plant, again, is quite clean and floriferous with a good large flower on it. So that's the Easy series, which we started back in 1996. Has got some new family members that have been very well tested and approved all along the way in different locations. So
each of those that you mentioned are truly beautiful and easy. You know, I'm so looking forward to this one. Cream is just such a rich color in a rose. I don't usually gravitate to white, but I absolutely adore cream.
There's something lush about it. Mm-hmm. It's really classy color.
Oh, classic color. And, you know, it works so well, that color and arranging. It just blends all other flowers. So, yeah, that's really good news.
Now, Kristen has some fine new seedlings coming out in 2018, too. Oh, one of those that I think is really exciting is called Lady in Red, and it's a large-flowered red climber with big double flowers and very free flowering, very vigorous. I remember it as a seedling. Thinking, how in the heck did we get that out of that? But anyway, we did.
We did.
Uh-huh. And it came forward, and it's a lovely color. Pictures of it look spectacular right now. We had this one old fence that was near horse property on the Weeks research site, and all the climbers got planted there, and it was a great spot to lay them horizontal, so they bloomed beautifully, and this one performed fantastically. And then he's got a variety called Parade Day. And it's a deep pink and light pink stripe. I believe it's a grandiflora. Bushy full plant, again, quite clean. Lovely flower form in the spring on it. It was really pretty. And sometimes it can be kind of old-fashioned, too. So it appeals across the aisle to those that like the old-fashioned flower form. Okay. And it's not a brazen stripe. It's a subtle stripe. And it drops the old flowers clean again, which is an important part.
You know, one of my favorite old ones is Rosamundi.
Yes.
So, you know, that stripe appeals to me a great deal.
Yeah. At my job at the Huntington, as curator of the garden, we have this collection of over 1,250 varieties. And we try to get a representation of the history of the rose, giving some examples of the earlier roses. And we really beefed up the old teas in the China section because we have the largest Chinese garden outside of China is at the Huntington. And we have a lot of Chinese visitors coming in. So we wanted to really show off this class and age and time in roses. So we've beefed that up tremendously. And we planted in the Chinese garden, there's a lovely big waterfall. And at the top of the waterfall, we put in Chinese species and nearer species hybrids that are all once blooming, like the Banksias and the Fortunianas and the Gigantias. But they will make great spilling masses of vines. And in the spring, it should be a spectacular show.
Oh, my goodness. I hope I'll get to see that.
Yeah,
I do make my way to California occasionally, so maybe I'll just have to run up there to see
that. You should, definitely.
Oh, it's just so spectacular. We had talked earlier, and you told me that this spring was a spectacular spring
for you. It was. The plants had been so starved for water, and we finally got rain, and not just the rose plants, everything just exploded in growth, and it was something to see.
A few years ago, we had had a very early summer, actually. Mm-hmm. Spring was summer to us, and it's probably very much like California, and it just got warm. And so everything bloomed at the same time. So we didn't just have early roses. We had all the roses and all the peonies and all the irises, and everything bloomed at one time.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, my goodness, you know. I did miss them later on, but it was just a feast for the eyes when you get to see all of them. In California, that just happens. Especially if you get rain.
Yes,
so,
definitely.
So it is just something to see.
I want to encourage your listeners to come visit us at the Huntington. It's a spectacular garden, not just our rose garden, but we have a Japanese garden. We have a desert garden that's world class. We have an Australian garden, a children's garden. And it's more than a day, for sure.
It is a wonderful place. My grandson was there with us, and he loved it.
Oh, good.
Just running around. There's so much to see.
And the kids can get wet. They always love that.
Oh, they do. They do. Well, thanks so much for taking time to talk to us. Now, my winters are long, and so I'm just going to have to wait it out till spring comes and we can get those new roses in the ground. But we do have a lot to look forward to.
Thanks so much.
So, you know, when we think about what's coming up in 2018, I had the opportunity to sit down and talk to the incomparable Jim Mills from K&M Roses, and we're looking forward to sharing that interview around January the 10th. So I hope our listeners will stay tuned for that as well. You know, he's going to be with us to talk about, you know, growing roses on Fortuniana rootstock. It's definitely going to be a show you don't want to miss.
2018 will be an exciting year for the American Rose Society. It's time for their triennial election. Voting will take place this summer, so watch for information in the upcoming editions of the ARS magazine, American Rose. Of course, we'll keep you updated on Rose Chat, too. This election is to decide who will be vice president of the American Rose Society. This person will serve as vice president for 3 years and then automatically move to president. The two candidates running for vice president are Diane Summers, ARS Region 5 director, and our own Chris Van Cleve. Rose Chat interviews with both candidates is coming this spring, so stay tuned. Remember, you must be a full member to vote.
Now, to become a voting member of the American Rose Society, visit their website, rose.org, and click join. Well, friends, that's all the time we have for this edition of the Rose Chat podcast. We thank you for listening. To access any of the shows that we spoke of today, simply visit our website, rosechatpodcast.com. Until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.